Good morning, Union Chapel.
Good morning.
Welcome to Wear Your PJs to Work Day. This is not a normal Sunday. You may have guessed that by now. So what we're talking about today is going to be a Sermon on the Mat. If you've heard of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm just modifying a little bit to incorporate my two great loves. That's Jesus and jiu-jitsu. When they come together, I'm going to warn you in advance. I'm just going to totally geek out today. I love this stuff. I love you guys. I love Jesus. I love jiu-jitsu. It's going to be a banner day. So we are here today to talk about the king of jiu-jitsu. And I'm not talking about Gordon Ryan, for those of you who know. That's not it either. That's not it either. So while we're waiting, anybody got any jokes? Hey, there's a mat there. How did that get there? So you may have seen our ad. No, Jaron was harmed in the making of this ad. He's right there. Although I will say we were warming up backstage, and I heard a pop. I hope you're okay. No, I'm just kidding. So what we're talking about today is the king of jiu-jitsu. We're not talking about Gordon Ryan. We're talking about the king of the Jews, jitsu, right? Why? Because Jew... Yeah, you see what I did there. Jiu-jitsu saves, bro. That's just the way it is. Now, this also represents a misunderstanding of what jiu-jitsu is, because we don't do dance fighting. We don't sweep the leg, Daniel. It's very much about grappling. This is actually a more accurate depiction of jiu-jitsu, where it says, Jesus has your back. That's Satan in a stranglehold, by the way. So that's what we're talking about today. So what we are going to go through, though, is the Bible verse that was read today. I always do a Bible verse, and then I ask you a question that you can ponder throughout the whole sermon. So today's question, based on what you heard, and thanks, Aria, by the way. I didn't get to see you, but I heard you, and you were awesome. And you look very sharp in that Gracie Baja Gi, right? Thank you. So here's the question. What is your way out? Because we're in a fight. I don't know if you know this. We're at war. We are in a fight to fight the good faith. We're in a fight to hold on to what's dear and what's true and pure. But there's things out there that are going to tempt you, and they're going to try to take you out. They're going to try to make you feel like you're burdened to the point where you can no longer maneuver. So that's what we're here to talk about today. What is your way out? Now, when it comes to temptation, one of the things that you need to know is it is pretty relentless. But here's the interesting and sad part all at the same time. Where does the temptation come from? Listen to this out of James in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. This temptation starts in us. See, the temptation doesn't really have to work that hard. It just has to wait because it knows human character. It knows that we're going to mess up at some point. We're going to give in, we're going to let go, and we're not going to watch what's going on. So what we have here is the idea that after this desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, we're not necessarily talking about death like I died. We're talking about the death of a spirit, which to me is even more sad. Because a death is one thing. When a person is gone, they're gone. But have you ever seen someone who's still walking around, but they're dead on the inside? I see it every day. I see people who are depressed in their spirit every day. I see people who don't live to the full potential that they're made for every day. And I'm convinced it's because we've got something running under the hood that keeps us from being all that we could be in Christ Jesus. So today we want to figure out how to deal with this. Now, here's the thing about this temptation. I want to introduce you to Temptation. Actually, his name is Jaron, but today he's Temptation. All right, so temptation looks pretty harmless just sitting there. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? It's just sitting there not doing anything, but it is sure shiny. And he's saying things that I kind of want to hear. So I'm getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer. Now, before we get too far into this, I want you to recognize he's just playing a role. So when you come to youth group tonight, he's not temptation anymore, okay? Let's just be clear. I just had to get that out there, okay? So anyway, I get a little bit closer. Right now, he can't touch me. He can't hurt me because I've got distance. But it's slow. It's insidious. It starts with that desire. That desire gives birth. That birth comes to life, and that life draws me in closer and closer as I continue to want to get closer and hear what he's got to say. And all of a sudden, holy... Ugh, I hate this part, right? So be careful that you don't fall, right? So thanks much. So that's what happens. Temptation draws you in very subtly. And then all of a sudden, you're down. And you've got the weight of the world on you. And you don't know what to do. Let me tell you that there's a way out. And I bet you can't guess what it is. Jesus. That's right. So we're going to talk about jujitsu a little bit more. I'm going to demonstrate a technique, and then we're going to talk through some principles that are behind it, and then we're going to tie that into scripture. So the first one is where I ended up is probably your worst nightmare, especially if you're the little brother and you had two older brothers that picked on you all the time and got on top of you and held your hands down and did things like, you know, stuff like that. Just me? Or is that? No? Okay. Yeah, people always say, well, Bill, how did you get an interest in martial arts? Is it because of the military? It's like, no. It's because I'm the little brother. That's why. Anyway, so here we are. We ended up in this position where he's on the mount, and he's got my hands pinned. This is horrible. I'm just going to do the technique, and then we're going to explain it a little bit here. All right? Right there. Yeah, buddy. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what just happened there. The first one is, as he comes back in the mount with the hands, I'm going to give him a choice. You notice I give a little bit of a hip bump because that's where my power is, and my hands are literally going to make a snow angel. So I present him with a dilemma. He can either hold onto my hands and face plant, or he can let go. It looks like this. All right, now I need to isolate because I've got to tip him over. So I'm going to stand up here. And he's going to be all four here for a second. Here's a principle that you need to understand. This is called a bridge and roll. And to get him off balance, I need to take away some things. So if this is a four-legged table and I take away one arm, what's going to happen? Nothing. Look, he's still there, right? He's still there. And this is what we don't realize. A lot of times we take away one little thing and we think we're good dealing with the enemy, but we're not. Sometimes we have to take away a little bit more. Now watch what happens if I take away this. And this. Voila. Right? So why is that important? Well, let me introduce you to guilt and shame. See, this is what the enemy uses. Because if I'm here, down, and I don't take away those two things, I did my thing, I got my hands out here, but I'm not controlling anything, and I just start pushing, he's just going to post. Look at that. I can't roll him. I can't go the other way. Ah, I'm stuck. Until I take away guilt and shame. Now it's time to go. And there we go. So why is guilt and shame so important? Guilt is what you did. Shame is who you think you are. If we do something wrong, guilt is actually a healthy thing. It lets us know that we've done something that maybe is against God's will. But if we dwell in that, if we let that hold us down, it turns into shame. And all of a sudden, the bad thing that you did isn't just what you did. Now it's who you are. That's who you think you are. So if I'm always in trouble, it's because that's who I am. If I have an addiction, that's just who I am. I can't overcome that. That's not true. See, what I have to understand is we're free because of what Christ did on the cross, hence the angel. Guilt has no power over us, but if we don't contain it, if we don't give that to God and let him cleanse that, we're always going to be stuck under the burden of sin. And if we leave it long enough, you notice shame is the leg. It's more powerful. That's the harder one to overcome. If we let that continue, if we don't go to Christ for forgiveness, it will weigh you down. And you will live less than the potential that you were made for. How do I know? I see it every day. I struggle with it every day. And I bet you do too, if you're honest. So guilt and shame weigh us down. Let's take it to the next level, though, because a lot of times where I ended up in that little role there, we tend to pause. And we think, look, I did a great thing today, and so I'm just going to pause. But let's replay that for just a second. I have Jaron lay down on his back with his head this way. This is where I ended up right here as we rolled up. And notice the very first thing was an instinct. I wasn't even thinking, but I don't want to be here because he's going to close what we call close his guard. Do you know how many attacks there are from this position? About a bazillion, right? If you don't know that, you don't know. But understand this, his legs are already controlling 50% of my body. By the way, the strongest half of my body There's about a million things he can do to me here, and this is where I don't want to be. But the reason I bring this up is I just rolled out of this. I was just successful. And I go, yay me. I'm doing awesome. We don't realize that we're still under attack. And so we can't stay here. So we've got to do something about that. We've got to get past this. Oh, right here. For you jiu-jitsu people, cross face, control the leg, control the hip, come over, knee on belly, swap. And now we're right back where we need to be, right? I just say that stuff so you guys know it's legit, right? My professor's in the back. No pressure. All right. So the next thing that happens then, okay, I'm feeling pretty good, and now I start to attack, but there's an obstacle. I can't get through. I can't do anything. This obstacle is holding me back. I can't tell you how many times I see this in Christians where you start to follow Christ, you go through the forgiveness, you go, man, I'm giving you my life, and then you hit an obstacle. And that obstacle slows people down. And they think, well, I thought when I followed Christ, life was supposed to be easy. I thought I wouldn't have any more problems. I thought there would be rainbows and unicorns and little birds chirping in the background. It's not true. In fact, Jesus says, you will have trouble. That's one of the reasons I love this guy so much. He tells it like it is. He says, no, you're going to have trouble in this world, especially if you follow me. People are going to see you. They're not going to like that. You will have trouble. So the problem isn't that we have trouble or not. The problem is, what do we do with that? Now, let me ask you this question. How many people have overcome obstacles in your life with the help of Christ? Okay, how do you feel after that? Better, loved, faithful, prayed for, good. You feel stronger in Christ. If that obstacle had never been there, you would never be stronger. What if the obstacle is not in the way? What if the obstacle is the way? When Israel fled and they got up against the Red Sea, that looks like a pretty formidable obstacle, especially if you've got a horde of Pharaoh's armies coming after you. What if the Red Sea wasn't an obstacle, but an escape route? One that would guarantee they would get through and Pharaoh's army wouldn't. When Paul was put into prison, that could be a pretty considerable obstacle. If your goal is to spread the good news throughout the world, the known world, and you're in prison, that's a pretty big obstacle. Or is it an opportunity? We wouldn't have about half of the New Testament if Paul hadn't been in prison and taken time to write that down. We wouldn't be here, probably, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. The obstacle is not the problem. It's what we do with the obstacle. So we're going to pick up where we left off. Jaron's head is this way. His body is this way. I ended up here feeling very successful, but there's this obstacle. Boom. So a couple of things you need to understand. In jiu-jitsu, circles beat lines. This is a line. I'm not going to be able to power through that. But there's something cool that can happen right here. And this is the opportunity. There's your arm bar. Isn't it a beautiful thing? So here's something that you need to understand about arm bars. You need to remember the acronym DIP, D-I-P, because your legs are actually where this arm bar is going to be successful. Your first one is your legs need to go down, heavy pressure, down. The next one is they need to come in. Notice how uncomfortable he looks right now? It's about to get worse, right? The next one is pinch. I pinch my knees together. Now I'm ready for the arm bar. Watch what happens if I don't do any of that. I want to take his arm down, see how long it takes him to tap. If you're not familiar with that, when you're at the pain level, you tap, and I'm supposed to quit. Depends on how much money Jaron owes me, right? So watch how far his arm comes down when I'm not doing any of that. Okay, well, I ran out. It's up against me. There's no arm bar. Now watch. What is it? Down. In. Pinch. Watch this. There's your arm bar. Why do I reckon that? Why do I mention that? Because in the Christian life, we often just do one thing. We either do down, we do in, or we do pinch. But we get lazy, don't we? We don't do all three. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the early church where they devoted themselves to prayer, to fasting, to teaching, to community, I'm talking about spiritual disciplines. You can't just pick one spiritual discipline and call it good, because I'm going to leave room for him to escape. Then he's right back on top of me. So when it comes to the spiritual disciplines, we combine several together. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to ask you to reflect. When was the last time you really sat down and read scripture? When was the last time you really sat down and meditated about what you'd read? When was the last time you got together and talked about that with a group of like-minded people? When was the last time you came to worship, except for today? When was the last time you fasted or prayed? You see what I'm saying? I'm not asking for a show of hands because I know it's hard. We're busy. But what it comes down to is what's important. If I just do one of those things, there's no armbar. In fact, it's going to get worse, because if I don't do some of those things, he's going to get free. And I'm under attack yet again. In fact, let's show you what that looks like, right? So here we are. I got my armbar position, and I'm being super lazy. I'm not doing down, in, and pinch. I'm just right here. And what's he do? He escapes. It's called a hitchhiker escape. It's great. And he gets me in a headlock. And as bad as the other one was, this is even worse. Can you hear me? Yes, excellent. I hope I don't break anybody's equipment. In fact, let's slide forward just a little bit. Sorry, Mike. All right, so you can't see me, but you get the idea. He's on top of me. He's putting pressure. He's got me in a headlock. Now, the good news is I'm not dying yet, right? But here's the thing. We're going to run towards him. We're going to repent. We're going to turn away, and we're going to end up in a good position, right? Right here. Beautiful. So that's the idea of repenting, running towards, running away, getting off balance, finding balance again in Christ. I ran towards him to start with. Wrong way to go. Unless you're doing jujitsu, you guys understand you have to off balance the center. But when you turn around, when you turn to Christ, there's power in that. So here's the thing that we often forget. We often talk about repenting as turning away, and that's true. Repenting means to turn away. But by definition, when you turn away from something, you're turning towards something else. And this is where I think we get it wrong so many times. We turn away, but what are you turning to? If you're turning to other things of the world, or if you're not turning to anything, you don't have any agenda, you're going to be right back where you started. It's not enough, in other words, just to turn away from the things that are keeping you from Christ. As you turn away from that, turn towards Christ. Make that link. Let that peace, that power, that grace, that forgiveness flow over you. Let him take the guilt and shame so that you can maneuver again. That's the power of Christ. That's the power of repenting. It's not just turning away. It's turning towards something as well. So, we're gonna pick up where we left off. So I ended up in the technical mount, which is on the side right here. Boom. I ended up, I'm mirror imaging. I was the other way, but it's the same thing. Mirror image, just use your imagination. All right, so here is yet another opportunity. This is where we ended up last time. So I've got a hook under his arm, and I've got a beautiful position for guess what? Anybody know? Armbar, all my jujitsu boys, yes, armbar, here it comes. All right, so we're here. The armbar looks like this. Boom. What am I doing with my legs? Down, in, pinch. Ah, I won. Yes. Yes, I have beat temptation, right? But here's the thing, and just a reminder, Jaron is not temptation. When you come to youth tonight, you can soak him, and it won't cost you anything, right? So here's the thing with our enemy. By definition, he is the father of lies. So when I say, hey, are you going to leave me alone now?
Yeah.
You're not going to mess with me anymore?
No more.
You're not going to bother me? You're not going to tempt me? None of that? Mm-mm. Okay, good. Hey, what's going on? Don't you hate when this happens? He's a liar. He's already a liar. All right. So what we noticed from before is that I'm in a different position than I was, but the same principles apply. I'm going to sweep him, and I need to take away how many things? Two things. What are they? Guilt and shame. Man, you guys are good. You should be up here. All right. So here's the thing. When he's given me pressure, I want you to think about me for just a second as the body of Christ, not just as a person. I am the body of Christ. So these are some individuals. These are some individuals. These are some individuals. These are some individuals. You get the idea, right? We're not all alike. We're different parts. Here's the thing. When he puts pressure on me in one spot, when the enemy puts pressure here, it means he's light somewhere else, right? So while I may be struggling for breath right here, look who's not doing anything. These other people. What are they doing? They're doing nothing to help me, right? So from a pure self-defense standpoint, if you ever get your trachea crushed, turn your head. Now you can at least breathe, okay? So here's the thing. I need to take away two sides right here. I'm going to use him, the other parts of the body of the Christ, that can help me to shrimp. And take this foot right under here. And I've got one arm, one leg. What happens next? Exactly. And I'm right back where I started, right? Except this time I'm smarter. I know that he's not going to let go. I know that I can't win because he's so persistent. I know that he's cunning and he lies. So what submission should I go for? Choke him out. Do you hate Jaron that much? So this is what we do. Like, okay, I've got him right where I want. What submission should I do? Let me show you what you should do. Get away. Don't stay there. Why are you going to fight with something that never gives up? Why are you going to fight with something that always finds the right thing to do and continually lies to you? Avoid it. Get away from it. In fact, wherever I put my Bible, here we go. My worlds are colliding this morning. Got a Bible here, got a jujitsu there. It's awesome. It's pretty cool. So here's the thing that I want to share with you. In Galatians 6, 1 through 2, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Remember the people that didn't have anything to do? They're watching. They're spectators. Wow, that looks really uncomfortable. It must be hard to breathe. It must be terrible to be you. That's not what this family does. This family does something about that. We come alongside each other. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. See, we celebrate together. We mourn together. We work together. We live together. The point is, we do this together. Now, let me go back to the verse that Aria read so wonderfully for us this morning. And I said I was going to geek out. Now I'm going to Greek out for just a second, because this verse comes alive when you know the Greek. It was written originally in Greek. So let me read it one more time. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You're thinking, Bill, that's what she just read, right? But did she read it in Greek? No, here's the cool part. The you here in Greek is plural. So let me read it one more time in the New Texas Version. No temptation has overtaken all y'all, except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let all y'all be tempted beyond what all y'all can bear. But when all y'all are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that all y'all can endure it. You see what I'm saying? It's not just about you. You're not in this alone. It was written originally by Paul in Greek to say you, plural. He's not going to tempt all of you beyond what you can bear. And when he does, he will provide a way that all of you can help people out of it. So that's the main lesson that I would want to take away today. as we look at this, there's a ton of other things, and you're looking at some of this going, yeah, that's really cool. I think I'll sign up for jiu-jitsu for a couple of weeks, and I'll go do that stuff. It doesn't work that way. What you see here is literally years of practice. And the average time for a Brazilian jiu-jitsu person to get to a black belt, what would you say, Professor? 10 years? Somewhere around 10 years? So why would you expect a Christian life to be any different? Well, I'll just read the Bible this week and I'll be good. No, it doesn't work that way, see. If you're going to make an advancement as a disciple of Christ, this takes a long time, because while the concepts are pretty easy to understand, love God, love neighbor, they're very hard to execute, especially when the world around you starts tempting you. Did I mention that's not really temptation? And when you come to youth group, it's just Jared. Yeah, did I mention youth group three times yet? Okay, perfect, good. So you have to practice this. This is not just knowledge that you put in your head. This is knowledge that you learn to apply. That's what I also love about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's not just knowledge that you learn. You have to learn to apply it. If only I knew a guy that teaches this, right? Gracie Baja, right down the road. You can do it right there. And Jaron and I will be there. Temptation and I will be there. Right? So the thing is, with the application, it's different. You can't just absorb it and go, okay, now I've got everything I need. No, it always changes. It's always changing. That's the other thing I love about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's never the same. You may be in the same position, but you have different options. By the way he reacts, by the way you're feeling that day, are you got an injury, do you not, are you feeling good? That all changes, and guess what? That's the way the Christian life is too. It changes day to day. Some days you feel strong, some days you feel weak. Some days you're injured, maybe in your soul, and you need to take a conservative approach. But if you don't know how to do that, you're always going to be a victim to whatever the enemy wants to do. And the enemy does not have good intentions, does not have goodwill towards you. We just have to understand that. So it's about us. It's about God. And it's about the King of the Jews. Earlier, we put up a scripture, and I had a question that I wanted to ask you. As it comes to this idea of temptation and the burden that you bear and being able to get out and away from that, I ask you, what is your way out? Does anybody have any answers to that right now? What's that? Take away guilt and shame. Good. Jesus. That is good. And prayer. Nice. Community groups.
Faith.
Faith. See, yeah, now, what is it? Reading your Bible. Yeah, see, you already know what to do. We're just not doing it at the level at which we need, most of us. This is not a condemnation. This is an encouragement, because you see what temptation can do. So the best way to avoid temptation, period, is just not get involved. The Bible has plenty to say about that. Don't walk down this path. It doesn't end well. Read all the Proverbs. Read all the Psalms. Read the guidance. Stray neither to the left or the right. It's all over the Bible. Avoid it. But should you find yourself trapped, understand this, that we do have someone that can help us with this. And it's not, to Bob's point when he said Jesus, it's not what's your way out. It's who is your way out. And who is your way out?
Jesus.
Yes, he's with authority. I love it. I love it. And why is Jesus the King of Jiu-Jitsu? I'll tell you what, I've never seen a better grappler. A better grappler who beat even death itself. He escaped the grave. How many of us have done that? See, now that's a guy worth following. So if you don't remember anything else about today, remember this. Jesus knows Jiu-Jitsu. Jesus knows you. You are fully known and fully loved. And that will preach. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance that is always with us if we will but listen. God, help us to learn to apply this knowledge, not just to have it in our heads, but have it in our hearts. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to bear one another's burdens. When we are tempted, when we are pulled in, when we are weighed down by burdens, remind us that we're not alone in this, that we are together as you've wired us to be. And God, I pray that this day is a day of renewal of commitment. If someone doesn't know you, I pray that this is a day they know you, maybe in a completely different way. If someone has known you and has maybe cast you aside as a lesser priority, I pray that this is a day of recommitment, of reprioritization, that we would come to the full knowledge of how to apply what you have for us, that we would listen for your Holy Spirit and your guidance, that we would come together as community, that we would practice spiritual disciplines, not just to go through the motions, but with the intent of actually living the life you've called us. God, I pray for everyone who is burdened here today, whether they're being tempted or whether they're full under the burden of whatever weight they're carrying, that they would be able to see there is a way out. There's nothing that we can suffer that you are not greater than. Remind us of this. Remind us that we have each other. Remind us that we are created in your image to spread your good news, that we're not to live by fear or limitations, but we serve a limitless God with a limitless love and a limitless mission. Help us to spread this good news and represent you to the world for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.